The Around the NFL Podcast are saving their best work for the Theology Podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Let's make this one count, guys. Let me tell you why. I'm going to open up the kimono here.
That's Look, repulsive.
That's
a little corpo jargon for you. A little corpo jargo. Stay above the treetops. Going to hit you with the fire hose of data. This is our last show together as a foursome for a couple of weeks. The old Zeus is going away next week, making like the boss and going to the Jersey Shore. Looking forward to that. After that, Rosie.
The boss, you mean Bruce Springsteen, not yes. My nickname.
The original boss.
Just pointing that out.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying.
I've never been.
For the audience?
I've never been.
Greg and Wes the next week going somewhere. Mark, you might be a little nervous. They might be jogging together in a park with a CNN personality.
I'm going to Cincinnati. I doubt Greg is spending his vacation there.
I have been to Cincinnati, though, and it's a good time. I like Cincinnati.
By the way, I'm sneaky leaving next week as well for a period of days.
Who's going to do the show? Well, we got Colleen and Lindsay, maybe.
No, we'll be here next
week.
We've
got backups.
We'll be here next week.
Okay. Anyway, so, yes, this is our last show together for a few weeks, so let's make it count. Everybody open your kimonos, get nasty. Busy week. This is supposed to be a slow week. All week I've been tied up with this All or Nothing series that is premiering tonight, Thursday at midnight. It's an 8-part documentary on the Cardinals 2015 season that, of course, the team of Around the NFL. Listen, I'm about 6,500 words deep on copy in the past 3 or 4 days.
Not all one piece, though, right?
8 different pieces, but pretty exhaustive. So if you are a fan of the Hard Knocks recaps on NFL.com, you will love the All or Nothing recap.
I like the idea of unleashing it at midnight. That feels like an old school movie theaters move.
Yeah, I do like that. That is.
I won't be there to start watching it then, but.
You could binge watch, and my buddy Jason Zumwalt, friend of the show, who went with me to the premiere of this All or Nothing thing, he is going to binge watch all through the night. He's a diehard Cardinals fan.
Wow.
Which is wild. And I was like, Jay, you really going to do that? He's like, bro, I binge-watched Daredevil, and I don't even like that show. Of course I'm going to do it with this. That's Zumwalt in a nutshell. So, but the recaps will drop once a day all through next week, so make sure you check that out. Also, special thanks to Alexis Frederick Frost, who is a illustrator slash artist based in the UK, I believe.
Yes.
Who
Great poet, too.
Drew up some illustrations for each of the heroes, including the satellite heroes, and you could check out our Twitter feeds to see them all. Great attention to detail on each of the illustrations.
Based off of our gnome conversation on what's more likely the other day.
Yes.
And by the way, this guy much better at his job than we are at ours.
Well, he's a true pro. It makes me think of when Josh Raymer made those T-shirts for us, which, Dan wore at Wes's most recent party.
I did.
So we have some interesting talented people tracking the show.
Is it possible that the people that listen to the show, they're all more talented than us?
Very possible.
Speaking of our most fervent listeners, I've got to give a shout out to our biggest fans in Austria, Stacy and Andy, getting married. They ended up getting to Tybee, hanging out at Huckapoo's, and some of my Huckapoo's friends are actually going to Vienna, Austria to go to the wedding.
Wow. So, really?
Congrats to Stacy and Andy, and y'all have fun. You crazy kids are going to make it.
You know what that means, Wes.
Yeah, we're bringing people together.
That means you're next, buddy.
Yeah?
Just, I'm going to call it.
That's insane that they met people at a random bar.
Well, I don't
to
know
them
they,
random.
I don't know if they met at
but
they came and visited and hung out with a bunch of my friends, and now
They met your friends at Huckapoo's, right? And you just, meet some people at a bar. Hey, you want to come to our wedding?
They stayed in touch, yeah.
When are we going to start announcing, 100-year-old's birthdays on this show, like Willard Scott on the Today Show?
When Willard Scott turns 100, we will announce his 100th birthday.
That's fair.
I think he's still alive. You know who's not alive? Robert Stack, dead. Rest in peace. All right. Great show coming up today. A-minus pre-show grade.
Whoa.
So bring the heat. By the way, Mark also on television this morning. He did his Stratomatic thing. He's really what do they call it? Taking water from the stone, getting every last drop out.
Well, I did not push for that to happen.
You're like Affleck during the.
But that's
Batman
great that you were on, of course.
It feels like about 14 hours ago at this point. I have no
Which
memory.
Which probably
of
was,
what
right?
It was close.
Yeah. So if you have a chance to check that out, Mark talked about his Stratomatic piece, NFL.com/Stratomatic. All right. Now, going to talk about a high octane banger by Greg, a piece that he wrote on the best defensive lines in football. And I. Usually, I read everything, as you guys know. I consume all the content on the site.
False.
I have not seen, because I've been so busy with All or Nothing, I have not had a chance to read this yet. I assume the Jets will be buried unfairly in Greg's piece, but...
That's not true.
We'll get to that.
There's an easy way to find out, but we can find out later.
Yeah, that's called a tease in the business, Greg. Just let it hang there. Just be like, oh, you'll find out.
They might have been given too much credit considering some of the malarkey surrounding that team at the moment.
Oh, stop it, Mark.
Wow.
And we will also talk about we're going to get our sandwich props where we do the regular season, go get my lunch predictions. That comes next month or in August, I should say. But just for fun, we're going to look at the 12 teams that made the playoffs in 2015, and each of us will pick one team that we are fairly confident will not return to the playoffs in 2016. This always ends up well for self-described football experts, so we'll see how that turns out. But before we do any of that, we check behind the glass with the Irishman, who once again will be batting leadoff for the Shield. What's up, buddy?
I got in today. Feeling good. Today was Thursday. I saw your guys' awesome gnomes. So, I clicked on the profile, like, maybe I want to get one. And now I'm just depressed.
So oh, you no. were thinking you would have a gnome.
I was hoping I would have a gnome.
I think you have to get on Mount Rushmore.
Well, I mean, Sid didn't have one.
That's what I mean.
Gold Standard didn't have one.
We haven't really had the ceremony yet to see who's on Rushmore. That will come later, but don't feel bad about it.
Okay.
Because Colleen and Lindsay didn't get gnomes either.
I'm not going to lie. That actually made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
This guy's been turning them out. I mean, you could have a gnome by the time this show goes to publication. The also question is, does he know what you look like? You kept your social media world under wraps for so long that now you're asking for people to draw representations of you. It's asking a lot
of very smart move in the 21st century for a young sports professional to stay away from social media. Entirely.
How I would approach
the
industry.
I can't wait to see the Sugar Ray gnome.
Seriously, like a little Sugar Ray CD on the back, on the wall, maybe a poster.
Don't give him any ideas. Let's see if it happens organically. But I like what you're thinking is by mentioning this, you almost put him on the spot where he has to do it.
We're off to an organic start. That's
yeah.
Sure.
He's definitely doing it.
Let's do some news. Did I miss something there?
Nope.
So there's no news drop today?
It's a very serious day, Dan. There's a lot of suspensions going on, and we're going to take a serious tone today.
I got four words for you, buddy. Put down the chisels!
Whoa!
Don't afraid to be great. And, I'm taking a risk out there. So,
what is wrong with you today? You're doing terribly right.
Someone got to you.
No, I'm actually not going to lie. I was working on the best of, and at one point, Gold Standard did a news drop, and he didn't even use a news drop. So...
What is everything okay, Brandon?
This turns so dark.
No, I actually feel fantastic today.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't think of one today.
Oh, we could always help you with that.
I know.
Okay,
so,
that's fine.
All right.
All right.
I feel great, though, by the way. Ready to lead off.
I don't know.
Yeah, you feel like...
Is his head in the right place?
I don't know
what's going on back there.
All right, let's do some news. Andrew Luck is the highest paid player.
I think you feel great like Charlie Sheen felt great at the end of his manic episodes.
Let's stay off the drug jokes today, Dan. There's a lot of suspensions going on out there.
What? All right, we will. Does anybody know what's going on with the Irishman?
Maybe it's the training going on behind me. I feel like a sense of pressure that people are in here today. I'm not sure.
He's really upset about the whole no gnome thing.
And the drug suspensions. What's that all about?
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to go on now.
Okay.
Andrew Luck is the highest paid player in the NFL. He signed a 6-year, $140 million contract to remain with the Colts. This deal includes $47 million in fully guaranteed dollars, averaging $23.3 million per season. The Colts obviously put no stock in Jim Irsay, the owner, said as much in last season's struggles and injury. and just looked ahead and saw Andrew Luck as a young, still ascendant quarterback, top five quarterback, you could certainly argue. So, Wes, this is the type of deal that makes sense for both sides, doesn't it?
It was inevitable, and I didn't understand kind of the hand-wringing that was going on Twitter. People couldn't believe that he was getting so much money. I thought it was an eminently reasonable deal for both sides. He probably could have wrung more money out of the Colts if he wanted to. But to me, he's one of the undeniable talents in the NFL, and Bucky Brooks wrote about this. He is a guy who's not a system guy. He could play in any system, in any era, and multiple well-respected analysts, former players, former coaches, former GMs have basically said, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. What's not to love about this?
Yeah, hand-wringing over the money is something that really tires me. Now I'm tired of the whole guarantees and even paying attention to all that stuff. When it's like, why are we so concerned about all of that anyways? That's not really why we like football. It shouldn't be a surprise. Joe Flacco was the top-paid player in the league. He has not really been a top 10 quarterback that often. Eli Manning has been the top player in the league at one point. This is just what happens. If you're a quarterback and you're young or youngish and you're up for a contract, you become the top paid player in the league, and he won't be at some point when Aaron Rodgers signs a contract or someone else signs a contract.
Yeah, any team without a quarterback where you're basically just in purgatory would love to have this problem of having to pay a quarterback like Andrew Luck the money they paid. The deal was not outrageous at all. It's just the next quarterback to get paid. And Dan brought it up in the office. It's a different sport, and I'm not comparing the two sports. It's a totally different structure. But they're like a laundry list of mid-tier, underwhelming baseball players making a flood of more money than Andrew Luck. Football's money structure in general probably needs to change at some point. This is not an outrageous deal for what you're getting. This guy solidifies your franchise forever.
I look at the salaries in baseball that don't have a cap. And then I think about the next CBA, and I worry that eventually people are going to be like, wait, Andrew Luck is making the same guaranteed money as Ricky Nolasco. And there's going to be somebody in that union that's eventually going to say, this needs to change radically because this is the biggest sport in the country, and these guys are getting paid like fourth starters.
Right. Rick Porcello makes the same or more, you know, per year.
I don't even know who you're talking to. Sounds like a bunch of gangsters.
Like those guys get the same or more guaranteed money. It's totally different sports. But the point, I think, is that quarterbacks are underpaid. If this guy was on an open market and there was no salary cap, how much is he worth? 50, 75 million? How much is he worth compared to the rest of the roster? Would you rather have Andrew Luck, and this is just in terms of cap number, or two Anthony Costanzos? I'd rather have Andrew Luck or five Anthony Costanzos. Would you rather have Andrew Luck?
A lot of Italians.
Or two Ryan Kerrigans. You know what I mean? It's not like the quarterback salaries are out of whack. If anything, they're underpaid relative to what defensive ends and cornerbacks make.
What I don't get is the doubt about whether he's going to recapture 2014 for him.
Right.
There's no question that he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year when he played. I'm convinced he was never healthy, including week one. I think he entered the season with an arm injury. And I think it's telling that Jim Irsay releases a statement basically saying, we never even attempted to use 2015 as leverage. We're that confident in him that he's the 2014 guy who was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL that we're not even going to use it as leverage. And to me, there's no reason to doubt him. If you watch the game film from 2012 to 2014, He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and it's an eye test.
And they would
it's
know.
It's an eye test.
They would know if he was dealing with an injury behind the scenes, which
exactly.
A lot of times, like when you read stuff, I'll never forget Peter King wrote a thing about Peyton Manning's, I think like 2005 season, where years later it was revealed that Manning was playing with like a horrible leg injury and thigh injury the entire time, and they never revealed it. It never was on the injury report.
Well, he's in good position, or at least the team is doing everything possible to support Andrew Luck. I know the line has not been good, and that's on them, but they are trying. Costanzo has a big contract. They draft Ryan Kelly as their center. They draft a bunch of other offensive linemen. But more importantly, you got Moncrief, Hilton, Dwayne Allen signed long-term, Philip Dorsett. You cannot say that the weapons around Andrew Luck are not sufficient. It's a great group that he can grow up with, and they're going to need to score a lot of points because that defense is lousy. It's going to be like 2014.
Call me crazy, but if I'm starting a franchise tomorrow, I'm taking him before anybody. Mm. That includes Aaron Rodgers.
Totally agree.
He's 26 years old. I think he could still get better. He's got every aspect of the game mastered when he's clicking right. I think the guy's going to be a stud for at least 10 more years.
I'd take
What else
Rodgers.
Could you ask for?
I'd take Rodgers.
It's close, but I think, yeah, if you want to start a franchise from an age angle, I'd go Luck.
Well, there was a question on the website. Who's going to be what is the quarterback rankings going to be in 2021 between Luck, Cam, and Russell Wilson? And part of my answer was that how hard an impossible a question that is to answer, because I don't think that Luck is far and away going to have a better career than Wilson or Newton. It wouldn't surprise me if any one of those three ends up being the guy we look at. I think that's how good Cam Newton and Russell Wilson is. I ended up saying I think Luck and Newton have the higher ceilings, and that so that's what I would go with. And I think Cam Newton, it's like he can get better. Russell Wilson, they can all get better.
It's funny because if you asked this question this time last summer, most people would have Luck number one, Wilson number two, Newton number three.
Right.
Last summer. And now this year, I think even though this room would have Luck number one maybe, most people would have him number three right now.
I put Cam one. I had a hard time. It was sort of a tie at one, but I said Cam 1A, Luck 1B, and Wilson 3rd, even though, like I said, I think it wouldn't be a surprise if Wilson's better than all of them. He's got the great organization, and I think he's almost the safest of the three.
Hey, guys, let's talk some suspensions. It's a thing that's got our producer all shaken up.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, by the way, back there?
I'm doing a lot better now.
Yeah?
Yep, feeling right. It.
I'm going to give you a big hug after this show.
That was a great, great segment you guys had there, by the way. Keep it up.
What is going on with Brandon?
I think Spice Rack took over his body.
Right, there is some spicy. That's it.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
A little spiciness.
It's off-putting.
I did listen to that interview yesterday, so maybe it did. You know what? I'm all positive now. Keep up the good work.
How about Spice Rack, by the way, minutes before the NBA draft started last Thursday, sent each of us like a 25-part NBA draft preview.
Loved it. Felt prepped for that.
Well, it was
night.
Actually
that great. Coming.
I don't know much about the NBA, but it seemed like thorough analysis.
If only he could have done that for football on this podcast.
That's all we wanted.
The best was after he did that, 6 days later or 4 days later, he came back and said his account was hacked. Sorry for sending all that NBA draft.
I wish you weren't a liar.
I love that, man.
Clean it up, Spice Rack.
All right, let's talk suspensions. We'll start with Rolando McClain, the troubled Cowboys linebacker, has been suspended 10 games for violating the NFL's policy against substances of abuse, the league announced. He was also suspended 4 games for violating the same policy to start the 2015 season. This is the latest valley in a career where McClain came into the league as a top pick, flamed out, then had his redemption story with the Cowboys a couple of years ago, and now it seems to be going, Greg, back in the direction that takes him into obscurity.
What a wild career I realized he have. I mean, I knew it, but just looking back through all the old RotoWorld posts to do the background for this piece.
He retired at age 24, didn't he?
He retired at 24, sat out that year, then was traded to the Cowboys. But, you know, in Oakland, struggled with motivation, was kicked out of practice once and suspended for conduct detrimental to the team when he yelled at a coach. He was arrested and found guilty on charges of assault, reckless endangerment, menace, and wrongful discharge of a firearm. He was once arrested for resisting arrest when the cops pulled him over and asked him, what's your name? And he answered, y'all. That was his name. And
was that the park unrest?
So
was that his name? Is that his
name? Well, that's the most ridiculous arrest ever, because they said they also charged him with giving them the wrong name. It's like, come on. We're like not providing his identification. Anyways, he's had some ups and downs, but on a real life impact for the Cowboys, they've had a brutal offseason. I mean, they have 3 starters suspended for the start of the year.
For a combined 18 games. And I realized that before we were looking at DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory with 4 games apiece and saying, look, there's a lot of emphasis on early season suspensions. You can get past this. There's a lot to go in the year. But this is the heart of your defense, not going to be there for a month plus.
Right. And 10 games is a lot at a position where they drafted Jalen Smith to replace Rolando McClain in 2017. But he's not going to be on the field. They also lost their 3rd-round pick. They've had a brutal offseason. Malik Collins, a defensive tackle. Sean Lee's had a suspension, a surgery, rather. He'll be back on the field, but he had a surgery this offseason, which you don't want. They just are short on players early in the year.
And here's some good news. Masked is bad news for the New York Jets. Sheldon Richardson, their talented defensive lineman, has been suspended without pay for the first game of the 2016 regular season for violating the league's personal conduct policy. That is in connection with a 2015 off-season arrest in which he was speeding in a high-speed chase, and there was a kid in the car, and it was a whole big mess. And the reason I say good news is I actually remember being in the Sessler backyard when this happened, and it was like, oh, no, this sounded like one of those things. And this is still in kind of a post-Ray Rice world where you were worried that any player of yours that got popped could just disappear. And I'll always remember a tweet from Mike Freeman that spooked me and a lot of other Jets fans. This is what it was. Have to say, I've heard from three different team sources, not on the Jets, and they all think Richardson will never play another NFL down. That actually gives you more of a what the NFL was like not so long ago after Ray Rice. One game for Sheldon Richardson.
Well, that's a terrible tweet.
Not a great tweet. I'm just taking a little trip back in the Wayback Machine. It's one game against Cincinnati. They will miss him. They'll need Leonard Williams to step up. They'll need Mo Wilkerson to be healthy and on the team, but they will survive.
You could drive yourself absolutely mad trying to predict NFL discipline.
Couldn't agree more.
Sheldon Richardson basically pulls something out of a Hunter S. Thompson book and gets one game. Tom Brady gets four for throwing slightly underinflated footballs. Martavis Bryant gets a year for smoking pot. I don't know. To me, I can't make sense out of any of it.
Well, I think many agree that the pot thing is so convoluted at this point and is probably with the other CBA issues that will come up at some point needs to be completely changed.
But those are easier to understand because there is a process for those. You have
right.
three until you get – you can fail it three times, then you get your four games, and then – I don't know if that was the drug that McClain failed, but then you get your 10 games the
and
next time
the,
after that.
The process with the Patriots thing made sense, too, because you're not allowed to cheat.
Well, there's
playoffs.
That.
Unless you're the other 31 teams.
Okay, just saying. That's
I mean, Richardson process. Went through the legal court process with this thing, too. This is from last summer, so some of it maybe that could have helped tone it down some. But in the end, you know, he's driving, what, 100-and-something miles an hour with a 12-year-old in the car with firearms and marijuana. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but I have children, and it's not I'm not going to be going to him for the guidebook on how to deal with youth.
That's not a weekend in the Sessler world?
It sounds actually, elements of it sound fine, but, you know, firearms next to children's feet in a car, not the way
you,
I'd go.
So you like the speeding and the marijuana?
I'm not pulling things out
Don't
that
answer
I
that
like
question.
Specifically. Not going to answer it. Not going
to
answer it.
The final no. suspension to talk about, Johnny Manziel, who is wandering through the wilderness of life, to borrow a Sesslerism, has been suspended four games due to a violation of the league's substance abuse policy, Rap Sheet reported Thursday. That's just the beginning for Manziel, who, if he ever ended up getting back in the league, which, you know, is very highly in doubt right now, he would likely be facing another lengthy suspension tied to his domestic violence incident recently. Not to mention the guy's 140 pounds and sent out a tweet this week in which he said, starting Friday, I'm going sober, which really makes me worried about tonight, Thursday. And I say that kind of joking, but at the same time, when the dad's out there saying that his son's a druggie and is going to die, there's very real things going on. So we may never see Manziel again, but when and if he ever comes back, he's going to have a lot of time to kill during what will likely be multiple suspensions. But right now it's four games, Mark.
I don't like some of the spin on Twitter, and it's coming from certain people that know sources close to Johnny Manziel saying, well, this suspension fits right in with his plan because he was really working to be in tip-top shape for 2017. That's not how football works and how building trust with 32 teams, or at this point 31, works. And, I mean, honestly, Manziel, Kevin Patra, we got a research grid from NFL Research with all the stuff that had happened to him, not on the field, just off the field.
Kevin Patra?
Well, no. Kevin Patra sent this out of Johnny Manziel, and he couldn't even fit it in a screenshot, and it was rather small type.
Kevin Patra's gnome had a six-pack, by the way.
That I liked.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Manziel makes Sheldon Richardson look like the offspring of Mother Teresa at this point. So you just hope with Manziel that he can clean it up before he worries about playing again. Like you mentioned, he weighs about 100 pounds less than he should.
Well, this offseason, and we're all kind of tired of seeing the updates of Johnny.
You know how I know Greg's tired of?
What?
He's looking at the Wimbledon schedule on his laptop right now.
You got to find out when Nishikori's playing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Is that my girl?
No.
Who's my girl?
You liked Camilla Giorgi.
Oh, Camilla Giorgi.
What spurned you to like her? Was it what about her game?
She was knocked out in the first round.
Well, the Yankees are having a down year, and there's nobody else playing right now. And, you know, the U.S. got knocked out of the Copa, and the Irish got knocked out of the Euro Cup. So now I like her talents, her abilities. I saw her on TV earlier this week.
Big hitter. what were we talking about? Poor Johnny Manziel. It is crazy, though, watching these updates in real time with everyone taking – it's a totally different sort of Truman Show thing that is going on with Johnny Manziel right now. And it's pretty sad. The fact that he has a hat – like his dad talks to the media about he thinks Johnny Manziel is going to die, and then Johnny Manziel posts an Instagram of him, you know, atop a canyon in Mexico or whatever with a hashtag like, "Hi, Dad." You could not – It's just another level of bizarre, sad reality show that everyone is gawking at that I don't think we've quite seen before, have we?
It's
an insane thing going on right now, and it's kind of sad. It's very sad.
He was a college star, and then he was supposed to be an NFL star. Now he's just like a TMZ star. That's what his life is now, and it's sad.
He's a one-man bipedal bacchanalia. I mean, this guy's – there's no way he's going to become sober. He's committed to partying like most people are committed to becoming better football players.
Well, it's not to get too dark here, but I mean, it seems like it's, you know, I watch Intervention, which is a great show. Was that a bummer? And you're basically watching people for a lot of the show going towards them hitting bottom, and you're just literally watching them on their way to hitting bottom, and that's kind of what this feels like.
And people like to watch that, you say.
Well, that
a
that
lot
I
of
think
people do. There
Greg
is.
Does when he's not watching Wimbledon.
That has like redemptive powers because people are it's their family trying to help them, and often, you know, very often they do. They seek help. So that's part of it.
Let me just, if Johnny Manziel did make his way back in the NFL and became an all pro passer, would that be the greatest comeback of any comeback?
Not in my book.
League? Okay, and he did it with the Browns because that's your worst fear.
Well, it would be in terms of to go far off the grid and return. I mean, Trent Richardson's there, but this is a whole nother level of that. So as long as it's former Browns, because Josh Gordon would be another one. Maybe Justin Blackmon came back and had a 1,500-yard season.
I wouldn't call it an irrational fan fear, but no one is more consumed by the fear of a player from your team succeeding elsewhere.
Well, no one has drafted more near psychotics that are still making news.
Are you talking football only?
What?
For, like, the greatest comeback of
I know, I'm trying to think of
– I mean, I'm going to go all the way out.
You got the Jim Morris story in baseball, right, that they turned into a Disney movie? The guy who was, like, a high school coach at age 38 and ends up throwing 98 miles an hour as a lefty. Mm.
All right.
Magic was pretty good.
Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the time when that happened and for him to – yeah.
I'm just trying to think
of it. It's not at the level of Johnny made it back, though.
Johnny, I mean, would be.
He was diagnosed with HIV, especially at a time when he didn't know what that was that well, and ended up, you know, returning.
But he still had the All-Star semblance of his abilities, and he was a huge fan favorite. I don't know.
I'm giving this to you. If Johnny Manziel is hoisting the Lombardi Trophy for like the Detroit Lions 4 years from now, you've won this debate.
Lance Armstrong would have been one, but I feel like that's been colored differently now.
Irish chimes in with Josh Hamilton, another great comeback.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
All right. And finally in the news, Doug Baldwin, the Seattle Seahawks wide receiver who blew up last season, leading the NFL with 14 touchdown receptions, has a new deal to show for it. 4 years, $46 million extension signed Tuesday, keeps him under contract through the 2020 season, rap sheet reported. The Seahawks later confirmed. 6 years into his career, his third contract, Wes, is Doug Baldwin – does Russell Wilson make Doug Baldwin or the other way around?
Well, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think they're both good players.
But you like doing that. You love saying that all the time, that wide receivers make quarterbacks.
Doesn't apply to every situation.
Okay.
Odell Beckham makes quarterbacks. Randy Moss made quarterbacks.
Well, in this case, don't you think Russell Wilson makes Doug Baldwin more than the other way around? If you really if you were forced to choose.
I don't know. I don't know why we have to do that.
You like doing that.
It doesn't apply to every situation.
I was helping you.
No, I don't believe that. Okay. I think that Doug Baldwin is one of the most underrated wide receiver. He and Larry Fitzgerald were the best slot receivers in the NFL last year. Mm. And I think it's telling that Baldwin, almost every stat shows that he was the most efficient wide receiver in the NFL. Russell Wilson had the highest passer rating in the league throwing to Doug Baldwin.
I think you had a tweet up that alley, basically, about how consistent he was. And yesterday they had the 2013 NFC Championship game on, and there's not a whole lot going on the office. I was actually watching one of these games for once, and Doug Baldwin making play after play. And now so was Russell Wilson, so they are tied together. But this is like this. He came out of nowhere for the Seahawks. They do a better job than most teams of finding players at low draft picks or off the market and turning them into productive.
He's an undrafted player on his third contract. Tough to get to your third contract at 27. And I love that they rewarded a guy who's like their guy because he doesn't have great stats. I mean, he never topped 1,000 yards before last year. He has about the same stats as
tied for the lead in touchdown reception.
Right. He definitely is coming off his best year, but he's like Michael Floyd. Probably has similar stats for his career, but he seems like, you know how they used to say, like, is he a true Yankee? But A-Rod's not a true, like, Doug Baldwin seems like a true Seahawk.
Definitely. He's a absolutely. I think he's a
well, you had to have your true Yankee moment. Right. Did Doug Baldwin have his true Seahawk moment yet?
I am calling it. We have capped out on the baseball talk.
He's emblematic of their wide receiver core, which doesn't get respect, but is willing to play special teams, is willing to run block, is willing to step up for other teammates, and they don't need the attention, but I think he's that. They have that hard hat mentality. They'll do anything.
He wants
big NFC championship game, I remember, against the old Seahawks that they won that game.
There was a lot of
Packers, rather, before they lost to the Patriots.
A lot of belly aching that the Seahawks wide receivers weren't properly given the credit they deserve. But now, you know, he's being targeted in that offense. He's making a lot of money. Doug, everything worked out for you. That's what's happening in the news.
Good return man sometimes.
Hey, listen, he's a nice ball player. He's a good ball player. Makes good plays. Hard-nosed. He's a good ball player. Mark, what's up?
You know, on the last podcast, it was asked of me, oh, was there any, you know, riff-raff nonsensical comments about pointed at me while I was on vacation? And I actually didn't even check with my
sparrows.
With my sparrows, because I came in, I was feeling good. It was good to see you guys, and I didn't want to, you know, necessarily go down that road. I thought if anything had happened, let's just let it go by.
Sure.
But you know, it's hard not just to do research and to dig into these things when you hear whispers. And
whisper.
You know, maybe our producer's in a bad mood because he feels the way I do about what we discovered together. Now, I won't point out the fact that initially he said everything was fine, but he's come around. Brandon, can we just take a quick listen to something that I uncovered?
Speaking of Mark and photos and Instagram, Chris Wessling upset that Mark gets adulation for his Instagram feed, his artistic merits as a photographer. And this is a direct quote from Wes. Mark, quote, tries to do LA empty streets.
Ooh.
Not much to read into that. I mean, it's
That's
pretty
not...
much black and white. Did you say it?
It's black and white like most of his photos.
Did you say it? Ooh, shot right there, too.
All right. Before we get into any sort of retort, Brandon, what do we call that around here?
Whoa! What is that? What is going on?
The super,
well, it's a super. That's exactly. And Greg, I came away initially thinking that I am so happy that when the boss was away, I went out of my directions, out of my freedoms to say that I'm going to stick up for Greg and go, you know, keep a watchdog type attitude. And I know that Greg did the same, right, Brandon?
Greg asks, "Oh, do people actually like Mark's photos? They think he does like a nice job artistically?"
I didn't paraphrase. Now you're
paraphrasing.
You're not saying
that's
that.
The basic gist of what you said.
So I'll let you and Dan sort that out because Dan.
You can blame that on Dan.
Well, I think Dan gets points for being an A-plus rabble rouser. Now, again,
I wasn't even being Stinky Davis there, by the way, just to clarify.
Oh, you were absolutely being
Stinky Davis. My tone there wasn't like Greg was saying, oh, people think that Mark is good. It was like more like, oh, people think that Mark's stuff is artistic. It was more in that tone. It came across the wrong way.
You were being a Stinky Davis with the whole conversation, especially when you emphasized tries to.
Okay, that was your direct quote.
Here is the upshot. You guys had three podcasts to go and do whatever you wanted to do while I was away. I love you all. I'm not even upset at you, but a punishment. I had to come up with a punishment. And
this
as
is for
midnight,
Wes and Greg.
This is for all three of you.
Oh. Why would I even be involved?
I will allow
I
you.
I wasn't involved at all.
I will allow you to appeal this down the road, but the punishment comes before the appeal. As of midnight, all three of you are being blocked from my Instagram account, which according to the way that you speak about it, you won't even miss it for 60 days. For
Wait,
60 days.
You didn't get him to play the part where I said yours was one of my favorite Instagram accounts.
Too
didn't
little,
hear that
too
part.
Late, Wesley.
Didn't hear that part. Mm.
Wes, there was zero editing in that. Nothing. I just took that verbatim.
Can so you got.
Why didn't you keep the part in where I said it was one of my favorite Instagram
selective
accounts?
Selective editing.
That wouldn't have sounded very good.
Oh, okay. Wes.
That wouldn't have helped make the point. I think, you know, here's the thing. As of midnight, you got a couple more hours to look at those photos and critique them and send out your critiques.
You're blocked from mine, too.
Oh!
I didn't even know you had
yes,
one.
Yes, yes,
Whoa.
Yes, 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 yes. I love this, I love this. Yes!
You didn't know I had one. More disrespect for my Instagram.
I know, I know that you
it's
have
It's all
one.
Coming out, baby!
And I actually have often praised yours. I don't know where this sense of lack of praise for your photos are. You're quite a good photographer, Wes. I'll miss watching
right,
yours as well.
Listen, I don't like to see the Kissing Cousins fight. Let's no more, you know, things like that. No more conversation like that. Let's keep it above the treetops. 60 days, that's fair.
Wasn't that weren't you just cheering 30 seconds ago? Literally.
You can't put me in a box, Rosenthal. But I think both people got out what was really at the heart of it, because there's a lot of dancing around it, but there was a little Instagram related tension, and now it's out on the table, and that's ultimately
it's healthier now. It's healthier.
I feel better too, by the way.
I will not appeal.
Oh, we can tell.
I will not appeal my suspension, mostly because I only use Instagram 1 week per year.
I did not feel it would affect you on any level or anyone, but I'm doing it for my own sense of justice.
All right.
It's a healthy competition here. You did uncover that.
Thank you.
Dan.
Thank you, Greg.
I don't know how
The problem is often Wes and I are in the exact same place taking photos of the same things. That's maybe where
That's
some
where
of this comes
all
from.
Coming from. A lot of black and white vistas. All right. Let's talk about it now. Greg wrote a banger. Ranking the top 12 defensive lines in the NFL. And, you know, Greg, as he's wont to do, he got really creative with his headline. The headline on the article, which you could read, ranking the top 12 defensive lines in the NFL.
I didn't even title it. Just sent it in.
1 through 12.
Up to them.
And, ooh, a little scan shows me that Greg did not cheat my Jets. But how did you – what was the process, Greg, to come up with this list?
Well, it's very scientific. Hours and hours of tape work, analytic system. No, I mean, the process was looking at the rosters. I did watch some of the plays to help me write. But I was looking for depth. I wasn't just looking for the best player. J.J. Watt, for instance, and the Texans didn't make it because I consider the other two spots on their line average or subpar. The Eagles, for instance, who have one great player in Fletcher Cox, they got extra points because I think they have their number five player, their fifth best defensive lineman, is probably the best fifth best defensive lineman in the league. So they got some extra points. They ended up being number six on the list. But ultimately, I rewarded the teams that had multiple top shelf players and solid starters all around. So that's where your Jets did pretty well, finishing number two on the list. You got to be good when you lose Snacks Harrison and you're still number two, but they have a three-man line, and those three players, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, and Leonard Williams, all have extremely high potential. And I like Jarvis Jenkins, a guy who I once gave a making the leap love to as a nice fourth reserve there.
Very nice. You have the Jets. I'll go through the top five here. The Carolina Panthers at 5, the New York Giants, we'll talk about that in a second, at 4, Cincinnati Bengals at 3, the Jets at 2, and the L.A. Rams at 1. Wes, I know you're going to have a problem with the Giants at 4, right?
It's all conjecture.
Well, I said that.
I
said it's more of concept than reality, like Victor Cruz's career is.
Give me J.J. Watt and the rest of the Texans defensive linemen over the Giants' big names that are all conjecture.
Hmm. But isn't that just J.J. Watt's a great player, and he makes the people around him a little better? And
but they're collectively a unit. I mean, you can't just say they don't exist because you don't know their names or whatever.
I know. I mean, Wilfork, and then they're looking.
Wilfork's a pretty good player.
Wilfork is a solid player that plays half his snaps at this point, certainly on the backside of his career. Their other spot is just a big gaping hole at this point. One of the worst-looking defensive line starter spots in the league.
You act like they didn't have the best defense in the NFL for the final 3 months of the season.
I think the linebackers and secondary deserve some credit, and J.J.
Right,
Watt
you
deserves
can't count
most,
other
most of the credit.
And I guess why the Rams are separated from the Pack here is they have a J.J. Watt-type talent and Aaron Donald.
Right.
But then there are studs around him as well that round out the unit.
Robert Quinn, when I was watching him, Jeff Fisher was quoted saying, you have to see Robert Quinn in person to believe how quick he is, how quick his first step is. And when I watched some of him, he reminded me of Jamal Charles or Le'Veon Bell going through a defense. That's how he goes through an offensive line. And yet this is a big guy. So the two of them, Donald and Quinn, they might each have the quickest first step of any players at their respective positions. So the two of those guys on the same team. And then you have William Hayes, who has been a really good underrated rotation guy for a while. Michael Brockers, who's a solid starter. They added easily. I mean, they have a lot of people there.
I mean, it's almost if the Rams at this point didn't have a top one or two or three defensive line with all the resources they put, it's almost like they only know that one position in football exists and they just keep pouring resources.
Well, they're good at drafting defensive linemen, so maybe they just stick to that because they know they're good at it. They're lousy at drafting receivers.
I have a question for you because when you were coming around, when you were putting this together, you had – I believe the Panthers and the Dolphins kind of either or back and forth, and we were discussing that. And now I'm looking at the list, and it feels like
it did change quite a bit.
Yeah, it feels like the Dolphins just got bumped. I think you're going to hear from Miami fans saying, "What are we doing at number 10?" I don't have a. I thought that the Panthers were the better line. What happened with your process?
Well, the more and more I looked into it and thought about it and watched the numbers and thought about the depth, the Dolphins looked worse and worse. Sue is a great player. I put him in my top 20 players in the entire league. Mario Williams was one of the worst starters in the league last year. I know he can be better, but he wasn't last year, and he's getting up there. Cameron Wake's 34 years old. So in terms of all-name team, they would be number one two or three seasons ago. But right now, they're one guy, and the rest of the spots are question marks.
I think you said earlier this week that the more you studied the Dolphins, the further they fell down this list.
That's right. I mean, and they're okay. They're at 10. We got the Raiders at 9. I like them as a young group. Seahawks at 8, Vikings 7, and Eagles, as I mentioned, were number 6.
I mean,
the Panthers, by the way, are underrated. After I thought about it more and more, Charles Johnson's still in the boat.
Well, and we know that those players work in that system.
Exactly, and they're better. And I think this is true about the Vikings, the Bengals.
How did you slip the Giants in over the Panthers? I don't get that one.
My thought was they have above average starters at every position, whereas Star Lotulelei is above average. Charles Johnson's above average. We don't know what Kony Ealy is. He wasn't really that good when he played last year other than the Super Bowl.
Which he dominated. Olivier Vernon and David Harrison have never played in the Giants system before. They're complete wild cards, as is JPP.
I might have overrated the Giants. I can buy that.
I think the Texans, they got to be on this list, Greg.
Well, they are in a little section I put up at the top.
I saw that.
You know,
but I think
they mentioned.
It's like the best starting five in the NBA if you did top 12. Sorry for another sports analogy, Mark. But, like, the Cavs would be in there because of LeBron alone and what he does for the other players in addition to being amazing. That's J.J. Watt.
Exactly. I think the Bills need to earn their spot again. They should have fallen out of the list.
They were number 11. Chiefs were 12.
I don't think the Giants should be on the list.
You got to project. I'm thinking what they're going to be this season.
They're going to be overpaid and overrated.
I'm not counting what they did in the past totally, although that's a factor. There are some teams – And you guys make good points. Maybe the Giants should be allowed. That's why these lists are fun. Some teams like the Vikings and the Bengals are two that come to mind, two related to Mike Zimmer. They're better as a group than they are just looking at the individual names. Like
Seahawks, too.
However you work it, the Bengals always find someone to take 500, 600 snaps that's effective. So whoever that might be, and they have a great 1-2 punch in Atkins and Dunlop, and that's why they got so high on the list. They're always better as a group.
What you did here. You have the Eagles at 6 and the Panthers at 5, and to kind of neutralize a lot of flack that you're going to get for this list to begin with, he embedded a Twitter poll that clearly shows the Panthers dominating the Eagles in terms of public opinion.
Almost 4,000 votes, and don't think I didn't notice that. That's your first Twitter poll, isn't it, bud?
That's true.
I think it is.
You also hate embedding tweets into your articles.
That's true. Well, I just figured I had said
breaking all the rules.
Well, you're putting out
one.
Fires here. This was a good move.
I was trying to. I had a hard time where I should rank the Panthers. They once were 9th or 10th, and I kept moving them up. Maybe I should have put them even more. Maybe this could be like T-Lop, Pablo, and I could keep changing the article.
A living document.
It could be something that keeps evolving. Panthers keep moving up.
There's 1% of our audience that knows what TLOP means.
Could be like the QB index, except it's a D-line index. You just do it every week.
Have one for every position.
The life of
dominate NFL.com from now until the time that computers die.
TLOP is the life of Pablo, Kanye West's album, which he is still adding to. Just added another song about a week and a half ago.
Hey,
is that allowed?
Kanye.
That he's trying to make up some new rules. It's interesting.
Kanye, come back to us. You put the new song.
What do you mean come back to us? He was never with us.
I'm trying to bring him back.
That's
he's
fair.
Way out there.
He was never with us.
Way out there. All
I
right.
Say keep
you gotta,
going on. Keep
you got to have
on
some cojones track. To add a new song 2 months after it was released. It's like.
Or you're disorganized. I don't know. It's one of the two.
Or a completely crazy person. Okay, so that's a nice banger by Greg. Check it out on NFL.com. Finally, before we go, let's talk about it. We don't have a ton of time to talk about it, but let's 12 teams made the playoffs last year. I'm going to real quickly reel them off. Broncos, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, Bengals, Steelers in the AFC, Redskins, Vikings, Cardinals, Panthers, Packers, and Seahawks in the NFC. I'm talking not even a gun to your head, Sessler. A blowtorch to your head. Imagine that thing just lighting you up, and then you burn alive. The flesh comes off the bone, and you realize what's happening before you perish. It's not a great way to go.
Sounds terrible.
So blowtorch to your head. Who's not making the playoffs in this group in 2016?
Please get that
I'm going to act quickly with the heat next to me, Washington Redskins.
Okay, why not?
And, well, for me, it's partly about the Redskins, and it's partly about the fact that last year was so chaotic in the NFC East, and I just see any one of those teams could win that. There are parts about the Redskins I like quite a bit. I think that they've got a bit of a nasty attitude. I like their GM. I think he's building a good team. But I look at the Dallas that it could get with Dez and Romo back. Could be a completely – I don't care about the defensive scenarios there. With that offense, they could go back. They won 4 games last year. They could flip records with the Redskins for all I care. The Giants are a little bit of a mystery.
Well, you better care because your face will be literally in flames.
Well, I'm feeling good about this pick. I think the Redskins can lose one more game, be 8-8, and not win the division. So I'm comfortable with this pick.
Okay.
Well, one thing in your favor is any of those teams could win the division.
That's the thing. There's no – it's not
– I think
not
the
really
Eagles
calling
win.
Much of a surprise
I think the
here.
Giants, if things broke right, could absolutely win a division.
Well, the Giants do that every couple of years anyways when we're not expecting it.
That division, and the Redskins especially, benefited from a soft schedule last year. I think, yeah, it's going to be tough for them to repeat.
I think I did a good job here. Did a very good job.
You may survive, Wes.
I had to throw a curveball here. I had the Vikings all queued up as the team, but you know what? I think they're going to make it. I think the Packers are going to take that division, but I don't see like some strong wild card team other than the Cardinals, Seahawks, whoever doesn't win that division, but I got to go away from the Vikings. I'm saving them. I'm going Kansas City Chiefs because that, to me, is the most balanced division in football this year. And their best player on their roster is Justin Houston is a giant question mark. The secondary, to me, is a question mark after losing a couple of starters. I think they've just got too many questions for me in a tough division.
Offensive line, some questions there, lost a couple of starters.
Everything went right last year. Down the stretch.
But they're good.
They are good.
I had them as they were on that best defensive line list. Probably the most unsung group of on that list on Terry Poe, Alan Bailey, Jay Howard, but just like rocks. They're just so solid. And you get Jamal Charles back. You have continuity.
I mean, the Jets went 10-6 and missed the playoffs. The Chiefs could go 10-6 and miss the playoffs. That's a crazy division.
I'll probably wind up not picking the Chiefs to the playoffs just because I'm going to want to change some teams in and out, and they don't get us going. And yet, year after year, the Andy Reid Chiefs overachieve.
Hmm. Overachieve.
Got it.
Wait a minute.
Got it. Play on words, Wes. Funny. Liked it. All right, my pick.
Don Rickles over here.
I like Rickles.
You're a Rickles fan?
Oh, yeah. That's not the love.
This is the.
I mean, like the last 30 years of his career, but other than that.
This has been a good, like, last couple of weeks in terms of Wes, like, old man Wes, because you had Blood on the Tracks as the best album of the year in 2016.
That was
last
a joke.
Week.
I mean, if you don't like Blood on the Tracks, I got to question your taste in music.
Oh, it's great.
If Wes was a comedian, he would be playing, like, in the Catskills.
No, I would.
That's a shock.
No, I wouldn't. Don Rickles is a classic.
All right. Here's my choice for the team that will miss the playoffs. I'm just kidding. I would love to say that. I would love to say
oh,
that.
Oh, come on.
Can't do it.
At least do it.
No, because I can't. I would love to say this is the year the Patriots finally go down to flames, but that's next year.
What about Brady's decline that you predicted?
Your head would be going down in flames if you picked the Patriots.
Yeah,
that
no,
blow
exactly.
You
right
predicted Brady's decline. So a declining Brady will still get them to the playoffs.
Tom Brady, when he declines this year, not if, when he declines, will be like the number 14th quarterback.
He'll just ride Jamie Collins into the postseason.
Yeah, that is a huge if. That's not a win.
No, it's like he'll be good. He'll be like a little worse than Matt Ryan was last year. That type of quarterback. Just, you know, wait and see.
If that was true, I think they would have a hard time making the playoffs. I mean, Tom Brady's effectiveness is
a
rather large component
in
their team.
I know, but he's going to throw, you know, 28 to 30 touchdowns. He's going to be good. He's just – it's the decline is going to be good. You guys will see soon enough. West stole
one of these years, you'll be right.
Exactly.
The Jets are going to suffer for your – analysis.
Oh, yeah. When will the Jets start suffering? The Chiefs were my pick as well, Wes.
Oh, sorry.
And then my backup was going to be the Vikings, which I should probably say there's like Minnesota radio shows ripping us whenever we go against the Vikings. I don't have anything against the Vikings.
I do.
I will only say that I do. I have this weird Sessler about the Bears this year. So I think the Vikings are vulnerable. I don't think they're going to go down in flames, but I could see things working out a little bit differently, especially if Teddy Bridgewater, we talk about him a lot, might not be, you know, a real franchise quarterback. We'll get a good idea this year with some better supporting cast. But watch out for Adrian Peterson this year. What happens with Adrian Peterson in his age, 31, 32 season?
31.
31, where he didn't have the same burst last year. A legendary player, of course, but he needs to be Adrian Peterson to carry that offense if Teddy Bridgewater is going to stay at this level. I don't know if it all works out for him. That's why I think another team can take their spot.
I think we might need to ultimately put a sandwich on the Vikings because I am going to stick to my prediction that we look at Mike Zimmer as a top five coach after this season.
Yeah, I like the Vikings. I think they'll continue on. But this talk about Peterson has me thinking this is sort of becoming Dan's thing, putting all-time legends into early retirement. It could be like a segment.
Don't put me in a box, Greg.
Sessler used to say guys are going to get injured. You say all-time legends are going to fall off.
Who was the last
guy? Well, by the way, both things happen.
Tom Brady and Adrian Peterson.
Who was the last guy to give up on Peyton Manning? Me.
Well,
how'd that work out for
you? Well, I'm just saying, don't put me in a box, bro.
I mean, it was a jokey box.
I'm out of the box.
It was a joke.
I don't agree that his burst wasn't there last year. I mean, he led the NFL in rushing, and he had some great bursts throughout the season.
He got caught from behind a couple times, I just remember, and I don't know. I don't know if
– had a year off.
He's still great, but is he still the best? I don't know about that anymore.
Open up that new stadium. They really did time it nicely. It's just how you would draw it up to open up a new stadium with this type of team, rising team and a young quarterback and an all-time legend. I think it'll be magical.
Don't sleep on Jerick McKinnon, by the way.
I'll do the parallel there. My Tom Brady theory will be very similar to my Adrian Peterson theory. Still will be viewed as a top 10 running back, but it'll be like Darrell Reeves' slight decline last year. You just start to come back to the pack at a certain point.
You're right, though. Vikings fans do think we're out to get him. I heard it.
It's not personal.
I heard this in the break room from a Vikings fan again.
Well, I don't think it's actually. Like I think there was a hot
period. It's not true.
There was a week or two where I get maybe where they're coming from on some level, but it's fair to with Teddy Bridgewater quarterback. I'm not in love with the guy. I don't think any of us are.
Greg.
Well, I was already on the record from some other segment. I forgot that we did. I don't know what the name was, that the Broncos were not going to make the playoffs. So I feel like I already used that, and that was more of an onion hanger. So I'm going to go safe. And
that's
your
choice, and now you just – this is another one.
This is another one, yes, because I'm sticking to that. I want to be consistent.
Gotcha.
Here is a second team that will not make the playoffs again, and that's the Houston Texans, a team that I never fully believed in last year. Anyways, good defense. You're right, Wes. They had a stretch where you thought they were the best defense in the league. You know, they also didn't play like the best defense in the league at times after that. And there was only so much they could do in that playoff game against the Chiefs when the offense is just absolutely collapsing. I'm just not convinced they're going to put all these pieces together and be a great offense. I think they'll be an okay offense with a slightly better than okay defense, and I like the Colts and the Jaguars more. I mean, if I just look at the rosters and the teams and who's rising, I like the Colts' chances of winning that division again, and if not, I like the Jaguars. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans are third and they don't make it back.
Lamar Miller.
I don't have any problem with any of that. I think the Texans have as wide a range of outcomes as just about any team.
I don't think they're a bad team. They've proven they've got the best player in the league in J.J. Watt, in my mind. They've got a good coach that can create some offense. But it's one thing to try to put a defense together. That's not easy either, and have them gel right away. I think it's even harder to put an offense together with all these new pieces, and you're counting on Jalen Strong to step up and a couple rookies and a new quarterback.
If Osweiler works out, Lamar Miller is who Dan says he is, and Jadeveon Clowney finally realizes the potential, it's a Super Bowl contender.
And also, you know, you've got Will Fuller now across from Nuke, so you've got an offense in place. I would say this. I think they have the best coach in the AFC South. But I
agree.
With your conceit is not off base. They only won the division by a game last year. The Titans, if the Titans and Jaguars – don't do what we think this year or get close to it, we have major issues.
I mean, always
got to be done with the AFC South at that point.
I default to the quarterbacks and to offense. That's usually the teams I pick. I think that's how you'll be right more often than not. And I think luck and Bortles and the Colts and Jags offenses, I like them better.
That is some, that's some damning with faint praise, by the way, saying somebody's the best coach in the AFC South.
Well, no, all right, but it's just
Mike Mularkey.
I also think Bill O'Brien is a coach on the rise, too. I think he's a better coach than he gets credit for in general. I mean, he did a good job last year with junk at quarterback. I mean, to win 9 games last season, and there were a couple games where they just flat out were a tougher team than the team they played.
I can't believe you just called Cleveland Springsteen junk.
Well,
loyalty.
I don't need to be loyal to him anymore.
By the way, I've taken Dan's notes that he's been writing down during the show, and it includes the phrase, Lamar Miller is awesome, with an exclamation point, and the exclamation point has a heart for the circle. And the is has a heart as the dot. There will be some Texans on the old Making the Leap list. I'll just say that.
Maybe. Yeah,
multiple. Multiple.
Well, they have multiple guys making the leap in addition to having J.J. Watt and the best coach in the AFC South.
Hey, football's a team sport. You need 30, 40
is
quality
Brock
players.
Is Brock Osweiler one of them?
It's not Brock.
Well, I know who one of them is.
More like Croc Osweiler. Nailed it.
It's not that hard to figure out. But
well, I mean, we'll have plenty of time for that.
Ooh. Greg is up and out of his seat.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure why this time.
It's because I'm getting loose for the big softball exhibition tonight I'm playing.
Oh, yeah. You might Maybe. Be playing. We got to figure out what's going on.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I would love for you to
really
be
look
either
for,
way.
I don't know about that swing. That's a pop-up.
Drop your
elbow.
Not me, but the rest of the crew will be back on Monday with a show. And then later in the week, Irishman's been working hard, diligently, on the Best Of show. I think the first one will roll out next week. So
well, we're definitely not back on Monday, which is July 4th.
Oh,
not
right.
Not even sure we're going to be back on the 5th. We'll put some shows out.
There will be two shows next week. One will be a fresh show. The other will be a Best Of to be announced when they happen. So thank you for listening. Enjoy your holiday weekend, fellow Americans, and everyone else across the globe. We love you. We really do. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman. Hang in there, buddy. I got a hug coming for you. Till next week! Are we, how are we doing back there?
Oh, we're fine. I'm just letting you guys get all this random crap out of the way now.
Oh, yeah. Don't have fun on the show. Good call, producer.